My guest at this time is Dr. Mike Evans, Middle East expert, longtime personal friend of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and the author of numerous books, including Atomic Iran. He joins us now to discuss some of the latest developments in the Middle East, including the Iranian charm offensive, specifically aimed at President Obama, as well as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's address to the United Nations General Assembly on Monday. And, sir, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you.
Good to be back, Greg. Thank you.
What do you make of the charm offensive? Prime Minister Netanyahu said it's all about getting sanctions eased or lifted completely, with Iran having to give up as little as possible. Is that pretty much the end game here?
Well, I don't really see this as a charm offensive by Iran. I see this as a charm offensive by President Obama. And the reason why I say that is because I am close to most of these leaders. As a matter of fact, one of my books on Iran was endorsed by the Minister of Defense of Israel, Moshe Yaalon, Bogi Yaalon. The situation is the following. Why did this president saber-rattle with Syria? Why did he say he was going to attack and then not do it? And by the way, what was the attack over? The attack, he says, was over WMDs. And over 1,000 or so children that were gassed. But there's a problem with that. I was invited to Kurdistan by the president of Kurdistan, Barzani, on a state invitation, and he showed me documentation of the gassing of 185,000 Kurds. When they were gassed, the House of Representatives tried to sanction Saddam Hussein, but the U.S. government vetoed sanctions against the gassing of the Kurds. On Saddam Hussein. It's not over the gassing of the Kurds. Obama did this to try to send a signal to Iran that he was serious, and also to send a signal to Netanyahu that he was serious, to get Netanyahu to back down from attacking Iran. He knew Netanyahu was ready. He knew the window was open, and he didn't want him to do it. So this was more saber-rattling for Iran and Netanyahu's benefit than for the Assyrians.
So what do you think the Obama strategy is from here?
He has no intention to do anything with Iran. As a matter of fact, he just sent the signal to them that he will not do anything, what he did in Syria. And that's why they're talking like they're talking. Listen, I met with the Iranians a couple of days ago in New York, and I've been with the diplomats for 4 years in a row. I arranged the only exclusive interview with Iran's former president for the Fox News Network. On this trip, I sat down with diplomats, and on one of them in particular, I said, "How do you enjoy your job, Iranian diplomat?" He said, "I hate my job because it's all these people do is lie and deceive." Now, this is an Iranian diplomat telling me this, that his own people lie and deceive, and he hates his job. Well, they do lie and deceive. But President Obama is going to not do a thing. He's not going to do a thing against Iran. He's going to let Iran go nuclear. And the reason he's going to let him is he wants a quid pro quo. He wants to be an anti-war president. He wants to get out of the Middle East. In order to do it, he needs the world's largest terror organization to give him a free pass, to quit attacking in Iraq, to quit attacking in Afghanistan, and back off a little bit. And that's what he's going for, nothing else. He could care less if Iran goes nuclear or not.
Prime Minister Netanyahu gave this speech at the United Nations. He says if Israel has to stand alone, that's what will happen because that's what Israel has to do. So if, in fact, President Obama's strategy is how you've outlined it to be, what is the Israeli reaction to that?
They're absolutely horrified. They know. I just came from Israel. They know what's going on. They know the game they're playing. Listen, at every Air Force base in the state of Israel is a picture of Auschwitz, with Israeli planes flying over Auschwitz. And underneath the picture is a statement. We, the Israeli Air Force pilots in the skies over the camp of atrocities, have risen from the ashes of the millions of victims, and we carry their silent cry. Every Air Force pilot looks at that picture before he gets in his plane. Israel will, in fact, stand up and do what they have to do with moral clarity. They don't have a partner with Obama. They're not going to have a partner with Obama. Obama's got his eyes on being a historical anti-war president. He's never going to confront Iran. It's just not going to happen, period. Iran is getting close to going nuclear. Israel knows that. They've been hoping, they've been praying that the president, well, he didn't, the signal he sent to Iran in Syria. Listen, what did they do? The Quad Force and the Revolutionary Guard massacred Syrians. They're there in Syria in great number. So they massacre Syrians, and we reward them. And we say that we're going to begin negotiations with them, talking with them. For what? For being a terrorist state? For being responsible for the vast majority of terrorism in the world, attacking embassies, killing the Jews, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Mahdi Army, the Quad Force, the Ruth Revolutionary Guard? What have they done to be rewarded? Nothing. But they know Obama's weak. He's Jimmy Carter on steroids. They know it. They're willing to play with this man because he's going to reward them, and they feel that. So Israel is alone right now. They're alone, and they know it. And Netanyahu knows it, too. I don't believe Netanyahu's message that he gave at the UN was to the Iranians, to the world, or to the American people. I believe his message was to the Israelis. He was speaking to his base, supporting and strengthening his base for what he's staring squarely in the face and knows he has to do.
What's the timetable on this? I know we talk about this all the time, but we know Iran's nuclear program is well underway. We know they've been testing missile systems as potential delivery agents of the weapons. So what's our timetable here?
Listen, that's the billion-dollar question. Knowing as many Israelis as I do and in the military field, it's complicated. You have a security cabinet that has to sign off on the attack. You've got an economic existential threat to the globe when the Persian Gulf is shut down. You've got another thing, and that is U.S. military support for national security. The U.S. military is still there in the Middle East. We still have our planes, our ships, because of Obama. There's a window open for Netanyahu while we're there to do the attack and potentially have Obama to support the attack, kicking and screaming because of the threat to the Persian Gulf, Gulf Arab allies, and our military bases. He may have to strike retaliatory targets, even though he would want to. So Netanyahu has to weigh all this very carefully. Nobody knows the answer to the question of when the attack's going to be. There's no doubt that Netanyahu knows. He's going to have to go it alone now. There's absolutely no doubt on that. But the window, a lot of it's going to be determined by the Iranians. The Iranians are holding back on the red line that Netanyahu says you can't cross, but they're speeding up on everything else. So Netanyahu is very well aware of all this. He doesn't have a partner over with Obama, but he's a very good chess player.
Back on the charm offensive, kind of where we started here, you mentioned that it's a charm offensive really on the part of the Obama administration, and then ultimately he's not going to confront Iran. Do you expect there to be any additional public signals of friendship, or is multilateral talks at the UN with John Kerry or phone calls between the two presidents about as far as this will go?
I asked the Iranian diplomats that at their hotel. They told me they want two things. Number one, they said that they proposed to the president that they be the mediator between the U.S. and Syria. I'm thinking, what did you just say? Do you want to be the mediator to solve the Syrian crisis? That's the fox solving the crisis with the chickens? That's number one. Number two, they told me that they anticipate to begin negotiations in 3 to 6 months with Obama. Well, why 3 to 6 months? Because in 3 to 6 months, Iran will pass the threshold, if they continue, with enough enriched uranium to build a bomb. And that's their plan. Their plan is to stall and delay this thing and try to checkmate Netanyahu so he can't do anything. Listen, it worked. Netanyahu got the worst press he's ever done in his life in the United States because he stepped into a huge landmine. He stepped into Washington, D.C., where the government shut down. And already the charm offensive worked, so even though the speech was absolutely brilliant, it didn't play. The secular media really didn't pick it up that much, and it didn't play. And so they won the first round. They did indeed.
The big controversy over the handshake, this is so insignificant compared to nuclear weapons, but with all these reports about a handshake, the Iranians said no, and then the phone call happened. What kind of gamesmanship was at work there?
Listen, it was this. They call America the Great Satan, and Israel the Little Satan. Fundamentally, what they saw is the president bowing down by the president calling Iran's new prime minister, former head of security that was over the Cobalt Towers bombing and the Buenos Aires Jewish Community Center bombing, this Mad Mullah, by calling this Mad Mullah, congratulating him on a fraudulent election, and all the other stuff he said was basically showing the weakness of the American president and empowering them and letting them know that they have another Jimmy Carter in office on steroids. By the way, when Jimmy Carter was in office, he wired transferred $7.9 billion from the Federal Reserve with 20 cooperating banks to the Bank of England to buy back the hostages. So why should Iran do anything except expect to be rewarded for misbehavior? That's what happened the last time an American president was in office.
Hmm. Dr. Evans, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time, as always.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Dr. Mike Evans, Middle Eastern expert, longtime friend of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.